This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 21st, episode 1897, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Hey, spring has officially sprung, Glenn, and it's snowing all over the country. They're expecting tons of snow.
Jennifer's driving right now to Lexington, where this is supposed to have 3 inches. Do you know the last 3 years I've gone to Road to the Horse, at the end of March in Lexington, Kentucky, we've had snow.
Oh, it's not surprising. Yeah, it's March in Kentucky can go either way. So sorry to all of you. We're going to try to keep you warm and have a little fireside chat this morning, because guess what? There is no Jennifer and there's no Jemmy. It's like the kids have been left home alone without any parents.
And you know what? I think we determined in the pre-show meeting, we don't like it much.
We actually were late getting started. we don't know what's going to happen today. It's exciting. There's no direction. Like right now, I usually say, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? But she's not here, and neither is Jemmy. So let's see. We're going to do some daily winnies, and then we're going to talk about botulism, and then we're going to have bad advice for horse people.
Because who doesn't want to talk about botulism first thing on a Wednesday morning?
Why not? And then we're going to have text messages from people from Craigslist, because we're going to talk about potentially a horse purchased by a client of mine. We might have found a horse. So that will all be coming up.
Are you going to jinx it by talking about it today?
Don't yay anything, okay? Don't yay anything. Details coming up. But right now, Daily Winnies.
Daily Winnie time. Maybe. I got a pile of happy birthdays today. First one to our friend Brooke Beers. Remember the horse holster girl who makes the horse holsters? She's been on our show a couple times.
Yes, still don't have one.
You still don't have one? She just made them in tie-dye. I think that's perfect for you.
Oh,
I'll send one out. And also auditors, Andrea Day, Patty Puff, Joyce McKinney, all today. And yesterday we had Allison Muldoon. Isn't Allison the one that makes the cute little figurines?
Yes,
that's
she makes the cutest little babies ever. She makes the little tiny figurines that look just like your horse.
That's right. I have mine in a glass case on the mantle. So happy birthday to all of them. It must have been, what was 9 months ago? Because we had a lot of birthdays today.
Don't break it down. And by the way, pregnancy takes 10 months. I kind of have two daily winnies. One goes out to Angela McIntyre, who is a listener of ours, and she sent me this pamphlet from her college. She goes to Canyon View Equestrian College, and she is doing a ride-a-thon. A ride-a-thon is a commitment to ride for 8 hours straight, and you can sponsor each student or the staff member while they ride. You can make pledges per hour or for the entire day.
This is a college. Are they just going around in circles in the arena? I hope they're doing something more exciting than that.
It says most of our students commit to never touching the ground throughout the day, even when they switch horses and ride. That's what I was happy. I was like, are they going to ride the same horse for 8 hours? Poor guy. They're going to be switching horses. And
so you thought about the horses. I thought about peeing.
Like, how are they going to pee? I didn't think about that.
That's what I thought about. See, at the age I am, I think about peeing a lot. So that's what
when you eat your lunch, Allison, when you eat your lunch, Angela, don't eat it, drink anything.
No,
just
no coffee for
get
you.
Get that sandwich done. I think she goes by Angel. So Angel, don't drink anything. Don't have any coffee. But apparently they're going to ride in different lessons and have a variety of events throughout the day. So if you're interested in helping sponsor her ride-a-thon, all I was like, somebody needs to be sponsoring it. And it's like monkey butt powder or something, because that's 8 hours
depends.
In a saddle. That's a long day. Yeah, it depends. And
can you ride in a saddle with the pens, by the way?
I hope I never find that out. I'll tell you that right now. The other Daily Winnie goes out to my dear, sweet neighbors. Oh, bless your heart. So Pink is in a pasture across the road by herself. Or she was before. I just turned out the babies. But she was in a pasture by herself. And Pink is very, very overweight. She's had 5 babies. She already has a big belly, but when she was boarded at the neighbor's place, they just like kind of free choice fed her whatever she wanted. And she put on a lot of weight. She's very fat. Like, she's obese. So we're doing this walking program and everything. I'm taking care of her. She's got a fly mask on because her eyes get off. So basically she's taken very well care of. And there is I keep a bale of hay just outside the pasture for her. And I'd like to thank the neighbors that decided that she was starving to death and threw the entire bale in her pasture. I saw them do it, Glenn. I drive up, I see a guy, and he's laughing, and there's a car next to him, and he's laughing, and he throws the entire bale into the pasture, and he's laughing. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? And he runs, dives in the car, and they take off. I'm like, what the hell? So I go.
That was their idea of a prank? To feed the horse?
Right? Like, if you want to feed horses, I've got about 9 more that you are welcome to come out here and shovel some, you know, grain to. Anyway, so they threw the whole entire bale in the pasture. And so I go out, and I see the whole thing happen. So I go and I take all the hay out of the pasture, which, by the way, a bale of hay is like $16. You know, like, that's not funny prank. So I get all the hay out. Sorry, Pink. You know, she's cleaning up the, like, I'm barely feeding her. I'm trying to starve her to death. And so then I come back the next day and that whole entire bale is gone again. So now I have to keep all the hay at my house and I have to carry it all the way down in a wheelbarrow all the way across the road. He's like, I can't keep hay over there because people are feeding a fat horse. It's not like she's out there starving to death. She's really thin. And somebody's like, oh, poor
I'm
thing.
I'm glad
let's
we
throw
live
the
at the end of the road.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. I'm like, what idea of a prank is it to feed a horse? That's not funny.
Yeah, that's not. I don't know what's satisfying about it either, other than your, I don't know.
It's weird. Like, ha, 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 I fed that horse. Ha, ha. Wait, that's not really funny at all.
All right. Anyway. Well, we have a guest coming up. Dr. Joe Lyman is going to be on with us. We're going to be talking about botulism. As I said, it's what everybody wants to talk about.
It's first important.
Thing.
We need to know about it. We need to learn about it. We need to figure out because there's a vaccine.
Because Jemmy's internet is out because we had storms yesterday and Jennifer's on her way to Road to the Horse and it's just us. I actually have to go to a different desk to call him. So I'm going to play a song. We're going to play our song early so that we can get this done. And when
we might play another song. You don't know.
Yeah, it
depends. We don't know what's going to happen.
How it goes getting the guest. So we're going to try this right now. We will be back here shortly with a guest, hopefully. And we'll be talking some botulism.
What you plan to do, that confident smile and the light in your eyes inspired me to. You took one step forward and you knew the rest was up to you. You said when one door closes, another will open. Never let's
Well, we're back, and of course, this week's health segment is brought to you by Purina Mills. Greatness never ages, so help your senior horses live their best lives with Purina Equine Senior Horse Feed. It has Active Age, a proprietary prebiotic proven through years of research to support a senior horse's aging immune system. To learn more, visit purinamills.com/activeage. That's purinamills.com/activeage.
And we have our guest on the line, Dr. Joe Lyman of the Neogen Corporation, to talk a little bit about, good morning, everybody, delicious botulism and horses. Hi, Dr. Lyman.
Hi, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I guess, I was from the South, and then I moved somewhere that fed round bales. And everybody said, oh, if your horse is eating from a round bale, it needs a botulism vaccine. First of all, let's talk, what is botulism? Because it's kind of like what Hollywood celebrities inject into their wrinkles, right?
Absolutely. So Botox is botulinum neurotoxin type A.
I never knew that.
The type that usually affects horses is botulinum neurotoxin type B.
Okay, that's good.
The vast majority of cases in the U.S. are type B, so it's not exactly the same, but it is coming from the same bacterium called Clostridium botulinum. That bacteria is all over the world. And in certain conditions, when the bacteria starts to grow, it produces this toxin, and the toxin is actually what affects horses and causes paralysis in them. So the horses that are affected by botulism end up getting what they call a flaccid paralysis, where they just get weak and can no longer stand up. And over time, it actually compromises the respiratory muscles and they can't breathe.
When you say over time, so first let's go back to the round bales. Is that somewhere you would find the botulism bacteria, or was that somebody just selling me something?
No, that's actually considered the classic risk factor. I went to school in Illinois where botulism isn't quite as common, and we were taught the same thing, that if you feed round bales, you vaccinate for botulism. And that was pretty much the entire lecture on equine botulism.
Okay.
But the reason for that is that the bacteria is what they call an anaerobic bacteria. It grows where there's not much oxygen present and where the temperature is high. So when you think of the center of a wet round bale, where it's highly compressed and that hay starts to ferment, you get the conditions for growth of the bacterium. And so that's why it's the classic risk factor. But
okay.
We hear about cases of botulism associated with just about every possible feed source, including even grass clippings that are left on fields after they've been mowed. So while round bales are the classic risk factor, they're certainly not the only way that a horse can get botulism. So in endemic areas, type B botulism is particularly prevalent in the Ohio Valley, Tennessee, Kentucky, and then up the mid-Atlantic states. In those real hotbeds, pretty much every horse should be vaccinated for botulism, whether they're on round bales or not.
Okay, so how does a vaccine like that work?
The vaccine is basically the toxin that has been distorted a little bit, so it doesn't act on the horse, but it's enough to trigger an immune response. And the horses that have been vaccinated, then when they do encounter the toxin gets bound by antibodies and doesn't actually act on the nerves of the horse. So the vaccine's been around for over 30 years, highly effective vaccine. So certainly any horse at risk should be vaccinated for it.
And so is it just a once a year? Is it every couple months? Is it one and done? How's it work?
It's three doses to start, but then after that primary series, it's just a once a year booster.
Any side effects to it?
No, it's a nice clean vaccine. It's like any other vaccine. There's always a risk anytime you put something foreign in a horse that you'll get a injection reaction or something like that. But it's extremely low risk. It's certainly lower than the risk of death from botulism in the horses that have exposure. So certainly a worthwhile thing to do.
And just as a horse person who has been a radio person, I remember a time, Glenn, this is awesome. So I worked in Atlanta and a person came in to do, what get the wrinkles. What's that called?
Botox.
There we go. So they came in to do Botox live in the studio on any of us who wanted it. And I was like, what is Botox? And they were like, oh, it's botulism. And I was like, no, I vaccinate my horses for that. It's like, why would you inject that in your face? And it does cause paralysis in the people.
It does. In fact, the neurotoxin, botulinum neurotoxin, is considered to be the single most potent toxin in the world. So it's certainly something I won't put in my face.
I don't want that anywhere near my eyeballs or my breathing apparatus.
Not at all.
That shows you how vain we are, though, as a people, right?
Absolutely. willing to take the risk of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So. I think I lost Jamie here. Let me see if I can get her back. We've been having all kinds of issues here this morning. Jamie, you back? Oh, I don't think I have her. Dr. Lyman, are you still here?
Yeah, okay. I am.
Okay, good. So how often, did we cover how often the vaccine is?
It's a yearly booster after the initial series. The initial series is three doses, each one 1 month apart.
And should every horse have one? What?
The AAP considers botulism what's called a risk-based disease. So basically, you should discuss with your veterinarian whether your horse is at risk and appropriate candidate for vaccination. My personal feeling is, every horse should be vaccinated. And the reason for that is, the classic risk factors that we talk about, those round bales and endemic states like Tennessee and Kentucky, Pennsylvania is another classic state for botulism. We think about those as the areas where those horses have to be vaccinated, but we get reports every year of horses in non-endemic areas, and that's because hay is shipped all around the country. The hay might be produced in an endemic area and shipped to a non-endemic area, or you have horses that are shipping from their home base to other show grounds and not necessarily having control over their feed supply the entire time they're out, especially race horses shipping around the country. So, the consequences of botulism in an unvaccinated horse is almost always death. And in that case, in my mind, it's always worth the prevention rather than running the risk of exposure.
Now, one of the things I've seen people do, and these are usually backyard horse owners that don't know a lot, they will take grass clippings and pour them over the fence for their, rake them up, pour them over the fence for the horse to eat. Is that a botulism issue there? I mean, you always hear don't do that. Is that a botulism issue or a different issue?
A number of issues, but botulism is one of them. Okay. In fact, there's a case reported in the news in California where a state park had done a bunch of mowing right next to a horse facility, and some visitors to the state park fed those horses the grass clippings, and all three of them died.
Wow. Okay, Jamie, do not mow the lawn where those people were throwing the hay over with, you know, just as a prank to your horse. Yeah. Maybe don't mow the lawn right beside it, or they're going to be throwing grass clippings over next. So,
yeah, you know, I live in the desert, Glenn. Mowing the lawn is not a problem here.
Not in Phoenix. It's not a problem in Phoenix.
Not in Phoenix. It's not a problem.
Where Dr. Lyman lives, it's definitely an issue. Now, you're in Lexington, Dr. Lyman?
That's correct.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about the corporation, and is this something that people get from the vets? Can they buy it themselves and give it? What's the story?
Yeah, well, Neogen's an animal health and a food safety company. We've got two basic divisions, one based in Lansing that does primarily the food safety, and then the animal health and safety divisions based in Lexington. We've been making the botulism vaccine for over 30 years now, and protected an awful lot of horses with it. It is available through your veterinarians. We always recommend that the vaccines be given by the veterinarians so that they get the correct dosing over the first three initial series and then yearly boosters thereafter.
All right, very good. Well, we appreciate you coming on and talking about this delightful topic for everybody.
Well, thank you for having me.
And no Botox, people. Wrinkles are fine. Wrinkles are fine. Thank you, Dr. Lyman.
Thanks, doctor.
Thank you.
I never knew that Botox was actually botulism.
Isn't that weird? Like, who was the first person's like, botulism?
Yeah, let's.
What should we?
Let's
what should we do with
that in your face?
Let's inject it into our forehead.
Around your eyeballs. Where did that become a thing?
Genius. Genius idea.
Or in your butt. Whatever. If you're listening to this program, it's obvious that you love horses. And let's be honest, our older horses hold a really special place in our hearts. That's why we want to do everything we can to keep our old companions around as long as possible and living their best lives without Botox. Well, our friends at Purina get this. That's why they've developed Purina Equine Senior Horse Feed with Active Age, a proprietary prebiotic proven through years of research to support a senior horse's aging immune system. Because when it comes to our horses, greatness never ages. To learn more, visit purinamills.com/activeage. That's purinamills.com/activeage. Well, I went to Horse Lovers this morning, and they have something on there I have never seen before. And I thought they had done every kind of sale possible. But if you go there right now, you're going to see the biggest BOGO event ever. Buy one, get one free, BOGO.
Yeah.
They have halters on there for $11, buy one, get one free. And I wanted to see how they were going to do it. So I took this cowboy halter with the lead. That's what Jennifer actually uses on Nigel. She bought it at Horse Lovers. And I clicked on it and I went, how do they do a BOGO? And there's all these different color choices. Do you have to get two of the same color, you know, size, whatever? Well, there's horse size and there's about five different colors. So I clicked that I wanted to buy one. And when you click add to cart, it's $15.49, by the way, for one. It actually brings up another window that says, pick the size and color of your free one. And then pick that and add it to your cart, and it shows up as a free gift. So you can get, like in this case, two of the cowboy halters with leads for $15. That's just ridiculous. it's ridiculous. So I'm looking here, and they have all kinds of halters and leads and hay bags, and they have a bunch of the different Rio Vista stuff for two for one, which is all the Rio Vista products, which we use a couple of those. They have saddle pads. They have the Equus All-Purpose Diamond Saddle Pad for $23 for two. So they have the hay bags, the hay feeders that are the slow feeders, two of them for $35. They're the usually really expensive ones. They have riding gloves, two pairs, get this, for $349. So go to horselovers.com, check out the BOGO event. I think it's probably only 1 or 2 days, so you want to make sure you get there today. Head over to horselovers.com today to see that. And to add to our day of complications, Jamie keeps dropping off the line. So I don't know what's happening with her at this point, So I'm talking to myself at this point. So what we're going to do is we're going to play another song. We're going to play our emergency song. Longtime listeners will know that we keep girls and horses around for an emergency. But you know what? I'm going to play a different one. This is one I don't think we've ever heard from Templeton Thompson, called If I Didn't Need the Money. And I'm going to see if we can get Jamie actually back online here.
Down the highway to a dead-end job that I can't quit, cause I got to make the payment on this car. I'm driving down the highway, I'm backed into a corner like a rat trapped in a maze. Not the first clue how I got here, I just know I gotta get away. Someday I'm gonna miss that exit. There's a life out there somewhere, and I'm gonna go and get it. If I didn't need the money, you can rip it off the wall. Wave goodbye with just one finger. Farewell to it all. I'd be knee deep in some river, or a mile high in the snow. I'd blow this nowhere job and hit the road. If I didn't need the money. If I didn't need the money, then I wouldn't put myself the ringer. I've been rung through at the hands of someone else. Hey, it's not that I'm not grateful. Yeah, I wanna do my part, but this constant daily grind is wreaking havoc on my restless heart. Someday I'm gonna ride off into the sunset, do all the things I've dreamed about but haven't done yet. If I didn't need the money, you can bet that I would walk. About him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She says, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders.
right, I think we're back. Jamie, are you there?
I do not understand what is the malfunction in Skype today.
I don't know, and I could barely hear you on your phone, too. And we're getting all kinds of noise.
That better?
No, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Jamie's Skypes keep dropping off. Jemmy had no internet this morning, probably because of the storms that went through here yesterday. And we're just having a great time here this morning. So, you know what? Do you just want to wrap the show and call it a day?
Well, if you can't hear me, how am I going to help you?
Yeah, you're really quiet. I don't know what the problem. You've been having phone trouble anyway, haven't you?
Always.
Yeah. Is yours still cracked, like have 50 cracks in it?
No, I got a new one. I don't know why it's not working.
Are you on the speaker?
Now I am because you couldn't hear me off the speaker.
Try it again. Give it one more shot.
Is that better?
That is better, actually. We can hear you now. So I'll just crank your volume up.
All right. So you want to keep going with this then?
Going for a little bit here anyway. And maybe your internet will come back miraculously.
I don't get it. That's really frustrating. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know. You've dropped off several times, and I think it's your internet issue. So right now, I talked a little bit about Horse Lovers, and go over there and get their BOGO offers. They have a ton of different products. And
yeah, so check this out. I called them yesterday.
Okay.
Because I was like, all right, so I have a horse trial coming up this weekend with Zeus. This is like the bucket list horse trial. I've been wanting to go novice on a Mustang. This has been like it. And that is actually happening, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, this weekend. So I'm super excited. But I realized that my saddle pad is just not what it's just not working because I have a monoflap saddle and I've decided I need a monoflap saddle pad. So I called him yesterday and I was like, hi, I need a monoflap saddle pad. Can you get it to me by Thursday? they kind of laughed at me. I was like, no, but you don't understand. I need no, not going to do it. Sorry. So thanks. I'm sorry. I harassed a phone agent at Horse Lovers. It's all my fault.
All right. Yeah, your phone is terrible. So I noticed that you've just come back on. So on Skype, let's try it. This is the deal, people. We're going to go. We're going to get her back on Skype. We're going to go till she drops off again. And then that's the end of the show.
Okay.
Why don't we try that? So I'm going to call you back on Skype right now.
Okay.
Sorry about this, everybody. We'll see if we can get her back. If we can't get her back, we're going to have to call it a day.
Right? Am I back?
Yes. Woof, you sound so much better. Let's hope you stay back this time. Let's hope it stays. All right. You want to do some bad advice for horse people?
Let's do it.
All right.
Bad advice for horse people.
Let's start that over.
By horse people. And now it's time for bad advice for horse people. By horse people.
Like hearing your husband.
He was like totally asleep when he did that, by the way. Okay. So this segment, I'm hearing a little bit of an echo, Glenn. Am I too loud? Maybe. I don't know. Turn me down. So here is a segment of a person who is looking. I'll just read your messages and you can comment. Hi, I am looking for supplements that won't break the bank. Anyone have anything? And that was it. So, like, supplements for what? What are you looking for? So, not one person says what kind of supplements, but lots of people ask for price range because then they were sales agents, so sales reps.
Oh, they jump in, yeah.
So there was all sorts of brand names that all center around the word equine or some various form of it. And so Equipride, Equininity, and somebody who wrote Cosequin, like that's not a cheap supplement. But it continues to go down for all sorts of different supplements for muscles and things. And then we start to get the interesting ones that you, I mean, again, nobody said for what. Well, what do you need supplements for? One was noni juice, no-knee juice. I don't know what that no-knee juice is for. This is probably all stuff that Dr. Wendy would know all about. Cocoa soya. It's only $20 a gallon.
That's cheap. I wonder what you do with it.
Yeah, but milk is like $3 a gallon.
Isn't that like chocolate cocoa soya? Isn't that like soy chocolate milk?
I do.
Well, it's cocoa soya. That'd be like
cocoa soya. Chocolate soy milk. Gosh.
I know what all this stuff is. I will keep. Wait a minute. Here it is. Let me. You want to know what cocoa soya is? It's only $20 a gallon, by the way. It's only $20 a gallon, but I can't.
What
see.
Is it?
I don't know, but it's not coming up. So.
Oh, I'm not going to touch the internet now. Another person said turmeric, which seems to be the new kind of go all for anything. Probiotics. Another person wrote cinnamon.
When I clicked on cocoa soya, it brought me to this product called Soylent Drink. Anybody that's my age is not going to drink anything that has Soylent in the name.
Wasn't that from the movie?
Soylent Green. That's the stuff that, you know, where they made people into food and that's what you eat in the future. Yeah. No. No. I'm not drinking.
I remember that. Yeah.
What's the name of that movie? Sorry to spoil. Oh, I think it was called Soylent Green was the name of the movie. Yeah. But don't watch that movie, people. It's disturbing.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. It happened 30 years ago. So it's fine.
Yeah. We're fine. We're not eating people. Or are we?
Another person said cinnamon. That's a cheap, good supplement.
We
cinnamon.
Use cinnamon.
No instruction.
I know, but yeah, we do feed cinnamon to Scooter. I don't know why. I just do it because Jennifer says to.
You do?
Yeah.
What does it do?
I don't know. I just do it because Jennifer says to.
How much? How much do you give him?
Let me say it's this little cupful. So it's like 2 tablespoons, maybe. Supposed to be good for a lot of things. So cocoa soya, it provides fatty acids to support healthy skin and coat, can also be an excellent source of calories for hard keepers. Well, chocolate is too for them.
I don't think you should. If chocolate's bad for dogs, it's probably not good for horses
either. Yeah, but look, you know, if you're a hard keeping person and you eat a lot of chocolate, you're going to fatten up.
We probably sound like the dumb people section of this because everybody else is like, duh.
I know. We know what that
obviously.
Is.
Obviously. Right.
How long have we I'm done sorry. This show? We should know what all of this is, actually, to be honest.
Another person said, feed your horse garlic. Yeah. Do you know the problem with feeding your horse garlic?
Is they smell like garlic.
Everything smells like garlic. Another person said, grass.
Really?
These are cheap supplements, people.
Yeah, grass is.
Grass.
Well, it depends where you live. Where you live, it's not so cheap.
Yeah, exactly. We pay a lot for our grass. Chia seeds, Himalayan salt, that can't be cheap either because I buy the little thing at Costco. It's like $7 and I have to grind it myself. Do you have to like sit there and grind Himalayan salt over your horse's feed?
I don't know. We use Redmond Equine and that ain't cheap either. So
yeah, not cheap. And then the final suggestion for a horse that needs cheap supplements for an unknown reason is they said, feed it hemp.
No, there you go. Hemp is supposed to be good for something. And again, we should know that.
No, we shouldn't because I brought home a giant tub of supplement for humans. And I tried it at Costco and it was delicious. So I bought it and I'm like, Lucas and I call it our chocolate milk. And, Chad's like, no, I can't have any of that because it has hemp in it because he's drug tested like every week as a fighter pilot.
And he's still going to be drug tested at American Airlines. So still no hemp.
Exactly. So no hemp in our house. So I'll be like, Lucas wants some chocolate milk. Chad's like, God, that looks good. Because I'll make it with like strawberries and bananas and all this. And he's like, I want some. Nope, there's hemp.
All right. You also, I know, did a lesson yesterday because you were whining in the pre-show meeting about how stiff you were.
I'm so sore. God, I feel 40. I don't know what it is about. People said you hit 40 and you feel it. It's true.
It is true. Yeah. You hit 50 and you really feel it.
Yeah. Well, so Zeus has a little problem with when you're taking a horse to a set of jumps, they're always based on like a 12-foot stride. Yeah. And all the measurements for getting from one jump to the next are based in a 12-foot stride. Well, Zeus has about a 10-foot stride. So we decided yesterday to start to work on lengthening his stride a little bit. And we're at a place that has a huge outdoor area to ride. So my coach, Dot, she sets up two poles on the ground. And they're exactly 5 strides apart. And so I'm starting to try to figure out what a 12-foot stride on Zeus feels like. And so we have, I try several times to get 5 strides in there. And finally, at like a dead gallop, I get 5 strides. Because he just goes more up. She's like, he's super animated. And as you speed him up, his legs come up instead of out. So it was like a dead gallop to get 5 strides in this thing. And why I'm telling you this is because then she goes, okay, do 4. I was like, no. Didn't you see that at 5, I was like a dead gallop? She was like, do 4. She goes, if it was Boyd Martin, he'd tell you to do 3. I was like, 4 it is. 4 it is. So... oh my gosh.
She used the Boyd Martin card.
Yeah, she used the Boyd Martin card. And I get out there and I'm not kidding you. I haven't traveled that fast since I galloped racehorses at Keeneland. Okay. And poor Zeus is like, what is going on? Why am I allowed to run faster and faster and faster? And it wasn't the straightaway that scared me. It was the making the turn before and after. Like, oh God, don't fall. You're going so fast. But we got the 4. We got 4 strides in a 5 stride line at a absolute utter flying dead gallop. And she goes, okay, come back around.
Do it again.
She goes, put in 6. I was like, I'm sorry. My horse is at a dead, out of control gallop. And now you want me to collect him and put 6 strides in here? You know what? We did it. Boom. Yay. So basically what we've realized is that when I go to the horse trial and there's a 5 stride line, she's like, do it in 6. Do it, please. She's like, you don't need to do it. But there's going to be a 2 stride line at novice. Probably boring a lot of people talking about this, but there's 2 strides. And so I'm going to have a very, very, very fast open stride to do that. Anyway, there you go. So that was what my lesson was. And I'm super sore and I'm uncomfortable and I'm sitting up here because you dead gallop while you're using a sitting back in a saddle, sitting there, holding on, actually encouraging your horse to take bigger strides. If you get in 2 point, that doesn't work. You got to sit back and gallop and get, oh my God, I'm sore. Anyway, I also want to tell you, I probably won't be here Monday, Glenn.
Why is that?
I think I'm going to start my internship at Flag Is Up. I'm going to go for a week.
For
next,
3 months?
Next week.
You're going for 3 months?
Not for 3 months. Okay. I can't quite get 3 months in. You know, hey, Chad, you just retired, so you're home
yeah,
with the kid.
Here, take care of the kid. Ya. And the horses.
Exactly. See you in 3 months. Bye. Yeah, it's not going to work like that. So I will head to California next week, too. So I won't be here on Monday because my flight is Monday morning.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, that probably works out because we have Road to the Horse for the next 4 days. Jennifer's driving up there right now. And tomorrow morning, we'll have Horse Husbands episode for you. And then Friday and Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we'll have coverage, Jennifer and Tara from Road to the Horse with a whole bunch of guests. So that'll be on Horses in the Mornings feed. And then also live on Sunday for the finals will be the only way you can get live play-by-play. There's no video feed this year. So you can listen at Horses
oh, really?
In the Morning. Yeah, we're the only commentary you're going to get is from us. And that'll be Tara's rounding up a whole bunch of special guests. And, of course, we've had some great ones in the past. So Tara's rounding those up. Jennifer will be there. And you'll get 4 hours of coverage as they go through the obstacle course on horses that have only been trained for basically 3 hours. So that's coming up on Sunday. And I think Monday we're going to be dark because we'll all be tired and Jennifer's driving home. So that's
wow.
What's...
Has anybody ever, like, not got anything done with
yeah, pretty much. There's been a couple, you know, and one of the nice things about Road to the Horse is, you know, we're dealing with some pretty good trainers here who don't push the horses. So if they don't feel they're ready, they just don't do it. You know, they just end up not... They just won't take them into the course. So, you know, it's been good that way. And I've seen a couple trainers say, look, this horse isn't ready. And they'll say, let me do around the outside, you know, maybe some walking and trotting and things. Let me do what I can get done with this horse that I feel won't push the horse. So they really are good about that.
Well, of course, yeah.
And, and it's competition. You know, there's money on the line. They don't really have to be good, but, you know, most of these people haven't gotten to the place they are without caring about the training of the horse and doing it right. And a lot of them end up taking these horses home anyway, so they want them to be trained right. So that's coming up, and that'll be go to horseradionetwork.com or horsesinthemorning.com for all the information on that.
All right. Well, before we get to the book, which hopefully we can get through the book, I do have one more segment because you guys know that it has been a long journey trying to buy a client of mine a horse. She's had four horses fail a pre-purchase exam, right? You remember all that?
Yep, I remember all that.
Okay. So, my final segment about hopefully I don't have to do this for a long time is let's play the sounder if you have it.
And now it's time for text message exchanges with people from Craigslist.
Oh God, I hope I don't have to do this anymore because it's short, Glenn, but you'll appreciate it. Here's me. Hey, I saw your ad for the Gray Gelding. Mind you, Gray Gelding. Do you have any videos? Where are you located? No videos.
That's it?
That's what they wrote back. No videos.
And they're not located anywhere?
yeah. I said, I live way out west of Phoenix, so do you think you can get a video? Maybe Saturday. By the way, this was last week. Saturday was like 7 days past when I asked for a video. Okay, thanks. Now, I wasn't going to read that until I actually got a video. Oh. And I got the video yesterday.
Yeah.
And it is a bay roping horse.
What did it say, Gray Gelding?
I wrote back, thought it was a Gray Gelding. He wrote back, sorry, wrong video.
And you still don't have a video of the gray horse.
And that's it.
That's it. And do we know where they live yet? Do we still have any idea where they live?
No. I just like.
And let me guess, they want $10,000 for this horse that they don't even have a video of.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I don't get it. Like, are you trying to sell this horse or are you trying not to sell this horse? I don't understand. It's like, people, what is wrong with you? But every time I get one of these, I'm like, oh, thank God, because this is going to go on the show. You're welcome.
But you said she may have actually found one this time. No. No.
Okay. So I went to California last time, she actually followed me because there was a horse on the way to California that she wanted to go see. And it was like right off the exit. So Zeus and I just decided we would pull in and magic too and sit there and they could sit in the trailer while I tried this horse with her. So this horse is really big, beautiful paint horse. I mean, really beautiful and really sweet. Really nice horse. Walk, trot, canter. I was like, hey, Jen, I might actually let you try this one. Okay. So I kind of liked it. And then I said, okay, I'm going to go to the jump. And it was just a pole on the ground. And from about 30 feet back, the horse was like, nope, not going to that pole on the ground. And I was like, huh, that's weird. So I kind of like work him around and I finally get him over the pole, but it took like a good 3 or 4 minutes. And then I get him over the pole, going back and forth over the pole. Okay, great. Then there's a tiny cross rail that maybe is 4.5 inches high. So I come around to take just at a trot, just over the cross rails from about 35 feet back. Nope, not going to do that. Not going to do it. And so even with any amount of leg, the horse would not go near the cross rail. So I looked at Jen and I was like, dude, it's not your horse. Like, this is not at all what we need. A horse that says no from 35 feet back. And we're talking like put your leg on it and heading towards a jump. And it was like, nope. And like so much that it started going backwards. I was like, this is dangerous. This is not the horse for you. So, she bought it. And, but like a month after we saw it. So she texted me the other day. She's like, well, I bought the horse and he's coming next week. I was like, what horse? Well, I bought that horse. And I was like, but Jen, that horse? And she's like, no, she sent me a video. They're jumping him now. And I said, oh, like, she's like, they're jumping him on courses. And I was like, they sent you a video of him jumping courses? Okay, well, send me the video. There's four poles on the ground and they trot over all four poles.
Well, there you go.
And I go, Jennifer, that is not a course. It's a pole on the ground. Oh, okay. So I'll ask him for higher jumps. And I'm like, well, the hell, you've already bought the horse at this point anyway.
So all that shopping and she ended up buying a horse. Oh. Well, maybe she wants it for dressage.
No, she wants to event it.
Oh. Well, you know, that would probably, is there a term for that? Is that baby novice, the poles on the ground?
I don't know what that is. It's she's like, you can train it.
Infant. It's like, infant. Of
course. Infant. It's tiny baby. It's like baby Zara speed.
Yeah.
No, I she's like,
it's the trot pole class.
Yeah. So at any rate, we now have a horse coming in, and it is very beautiful and very sweet and doesn't want to jump. So we'll see how it goes, making it into
an event. As a trainer and an instructor, you look at that and go, job security.
You know what? I'll help you. Sure. But as a trainer, you have to realize, but other people don't, that their problems become your problems. You know
job
what I mean? Like,
if
you're a trainer that actually
job
cares.
Security.
True that. So he's on his way, I guess, coming this next week. So, and he was going to be boarded here, but now I have too many horses here. So he's going to be boarded down the street. And is anybody, no takers on Magic still, by the way. Not one person.
Nobody wants that little 12-hand pony.
Tried to buy my pony.
All right, let's do the book. What chapter are we at? This is the Opium Equation that we've been reading, and we're getting into the, we're heading towards the end of the book, aren't we?
No.
We're chapter what, 20?
We're at chapter 23. Let me see. Okay. 28, 32. Okay, there's a lot of, she has a lot of acknowledgments in the end. So that's a lot of the pages. But I am currently, there's 32 chapters.
Oh, we're getting there. All right, so we're at chapter 23. I missed last week, so I have to kind of catch up.
All right, if I drop off, we'll just pick it back up the next week where I die.
We'll remember what the last word was.
So. And thank you. I know that, I know Ellen sent me a message. I haven't opened it yet, Ellen, because I'm afraid to touch my computer right now. But if you're still listening, and this is the show you've listened to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're amazing. Number one. Number two, if this is your first time ever listening, please try again.
Yeah. It usually goes better than this. When we actually have a producer and everybody's internet actually works, it goes better than this. I'm blaming the weather because, we have a snowstorm in the middle and up north. We had wicked thunderstorms all through the south. God, Atlanta got hit 2 days ago. And, we had a roll, storms roll through here. Jemmy's without the internet. And I don't know what happened in Phoenix.
It is sunny and 72.
The sun has fried Jamie's internet out there in Phoenix. But, yeah, it usually goes better than this. We're usually professional in everything.
No, we're not.
No.
But we try.
We try.
More professional.
All right, let's do it. The Opium Equation is the first of the Kat Enright mystery series written by Lisa Wysocki. It features Kat Enright, a Tennessee Appaloosa horse trainer, Darcy Whitcomb, teenager with a trust fund, Bubba Henley, a budding juvenile delinquent, and John Gardner, a mysterious barn manager. And of course, there's Sally Blue. Thank you to the publisher Cool Titles for allowing us to read this book. If you want to read ahead, all four books in the series are available in stores and online everywhere or at lisawysocki.com.
Chapter 23. I reached Darcy on her cell phone and she agreed to rescue me. John had gotten the message on his voicemail that I had left last night about the funeral and Darcy needing a lift. He picked her up before her history test and then brought her back to Verna Mae's and her car. I guess that half explained her inappropriate attire at the funeral. She'd come directly from school. I hadn't finished buckling the seatbelt when Darcy told me we were making a detour via the cemetery. You'll never believe what I found, she exclaimed. Like, after the funeral, I hung around and, oh man, this is way cool. She declined to tell me more and I resigned myself to the fact that I would never get back to the barn and John would hate me forever. We parked in the shabby graveyard parking lot, walked towards the back corner opposite from where Glenda had been laid to rest, and stopped beside a large pillar. Darcy pointed to an elaborate carving of a name on the old stone, Henley. Curious, I examined it more closely. Carved below the family name were all sorts of Henleys, including Colonel Sam, his young wife Alice, and their children, Alice and Sam Jr. I noted with interest that the younger Alice had the same name as her mother, Alice Giles Henley. I wonder if she married another Henley, or if she'd never married at all. There weren't any names of offspring credited to her, but that didn't necessarily mean anything. Sam Jr., on the other hand, had been almost as prolific as the Giles clan, which, via his mother, he was part of. I noticed the first Hill Henley was also a Hilton. He was the son of Sam Jr., and the others also followed the H theme with Heath, Hampton, Hagen, and Houston. The last, no doubt, was named for the Texas version of our Colonel Sam. I wondered what had happened to all of them and if there ever was a Sam the Third. Darcy said she knew how to find out. We walked towards the front of the graveyard, but stopped short of the parking lot. Here, hidden among a few scrubby pines and lilacs, was a small, whitewashed stone building. The painted wooden sign over the door said Western Hills Cemetery Office and Historical Society. The woman inside was cheerful and quick. "Here you are," she said, pulling a large book from the center of a huge stack on the far wall. "Colonel Samuel Henley, born February 8, 1842, died March 15th, 1937. I looked at the entry she was pointing to. Not that I didn't believe her. I just have to see things for myself. Colonel Sam, she mused. We don't get too many requests for that name anymore. Oh, are you by any chance the lady who called about him a few days ago? The reporter from the historical magazine? I was about to admit that no, I wasn't the lady in question, when a swift kick to my right shin, courtesy of Darcy, convinced me otherwise. I put an honest expression on my face and nodded in earnest. Assured of my legitimacy, she continued, "It's just the biggest coincidence that you should stop in here today. I just found out that that poor movie star, Glenda Dupree, interred here just this morning, was a great-granddaughter of Colonel." The luck of the Irish was with me, and of course I had to catch my breath and wait for the world to right itself. After a brief moment, during which I hoped the woman would believe my deep sorrow at poor Glenda's demise, I gave what I trusted would pass for an encouraging smile. I must say that the family wasn't too forthcoming with information regarding Miss Dupree's genealogical background, but we do have to keep our record, she said. Let's see now. The way I understand it, Miss Glenda Dupree's mother, Miss Opal Dupree, is the only daughter of Alice Henley, and that's Alice the Younger. There was some hush-hush scandal involved with Alice the Younger, but I don't know if anyone remembers what it was anymore. I acknowledged that I hadn't been in the county long enough to hear about such a dishonor. Guess it died off with the old folks, said the woman, glancing at her watch. She was losing interest, and I wasn't done with her yet. Oh, I said, slapping my forehead, Miss Watson, Penny Watson. Of course, Penny, I did hear a rumor, not about Alice, the younger, but about her father, Colonel Sam. She nodded for me to continue. Someone mentioned he was a smuggler during the Civil War. Have you heard anything about that? I smiled brilliantly while Penny Watson pretended to rack her brain. A known smuggler was obviously a besmirchment to her fair cemetery, and she was reluctant to hand out the sordid details, but eventually decided I already knew about it and she better fess up. Now that you mention it, yes. He was rumored to have brought in illegal goods during the War of Northern Aggression, solely for the benefit of the Confederacy, of course. But what the nature of those goods were or how he got them in, I don't know. My Irish instincts told me she was telling me all she knew, so I asked one final question. As far as Miss Watson could tell, there never was a third Sam Henley. Darcy and I bid her farewells, and we headed for the car. On the way home, I imitated Deputy Giles, and Darcy took my role. So Glenda had family connections to Fairbanks, I exclaimed. I wonder if she knew that when she bought the place. Surely she did. She must have. Darcy nodded in agreement. Then the two big questions are, do Opal and Adam know? And what does this new information have to do, if anything, with Bubba's disappearance and Glenda's murder? I was willing to wager the farm that the connection had a lot to do with everything. But what? Connections were what I'd wanted in the first place, and connections were what I got. I guess that old adage, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it, is true. The trouble was the connections didn't line up. Not that I could see. Not even Deputy Giles or Sheriff Big Jim could see. The connections didn't produce any answers, just more questions. And now I had more questions than fleas on a dog and nothing to squash them with. When we got back to the stables, Darcy and I both headed for the barn. John was evidently taking a late lunch, either that or he heard me coming and made himself scarce. I could hear him stomping around in his apartment overhead, and I had to admit that I was glad for his absence. Hank, however, was very glad to see us. Stick firmly in his mouth, he alternated greeting each of us, his tail wagging his body so hard that his stick hit us in the legs with each wag. We both lavished affection on him until a bird mistakenly thought that it could hop up and down in the aisle looking for grain droppings. Hank dropped his stick to dash off to the all-important task of bird chasing. Darcy threw her hunt seat gear on Petey while I put my western saddle on Sally Blue. From Sally's eager expression, I sensed she hadn't been out of her stall yet today. Of course, Agnes would say Sally was sending me her thoughts telepathically. Who knew? Maybe Agnes was right. If nothing else, schooling Sally would take my mind off Bubba and Glenda. Darcy was engrossed in her own thoughts, so I was spared conversation. In the horse world, all horses turn a year older on the first day of January. Sally's actual birthday wasn't until the end of March, but for show purposes, she was already 3. There were a lot of trainers who started under saddle right at 2, mainly for the purpose of competing in financially lucrative 2-year-old Western pleasure futurities. These were classes that were judged at a walk, trot, and canter and were entered months in advance of the competition. Every month or so, the horse's owner or trainer paid an additional fee to keep the horses eligible for that class. By the time the class was held, there was a big pot of cash waiting for the winners. I, however, felt that most horses' legs and bone structures were not developed enough to withstand training early in a horse's two-year-old year, and I started mine in November when they were considered long or older two-year-olds. To date, Sally had just 90 days under saddle and was thriving on her slow schooling pace. Of course, the term slow is subjective. Dressage horses undergo years of training before they're ready to compete. But unfortunately, in the world of stock breeds and Western pleasure, the system requires a much speedier return on an owner's investment. At just 90 days, Sally walked with a loose, long stride. She could jog trot slowly on a loose rein with her head nicely balanced and her legs underneath her, and she could lope both directions from a walk on the correct lead. Sally was bending nicely on the turns, and we were just starting to work on her extended trot. In a few more weeks, Sally would be ready for her debut under saddle at a small schooling show, and Agnes could barely wait for that day. I ground-tied Sally in the center of the arena, and I set up 4 Cavaletti poles, each about 3 feet apart and about 8 feet from the rail. Cavaletti poles look like 8-sided fence poles, and they're anywhere from 8 to 12 feet long. They're placed flat on the ground or on low risers and spaced evenly in a row so a horse can stride over them. The object today was to get Sally to trot over them without tickling any of her hooves or breaking her stride. Once she could do it consistently at a slow trot, we'd gradually increase the distance between poles and the pace. It didn't take long for me to realize this world would not be an ordinary training session. Today, every circuit we made of the arena, Sally came to a dead stop at the gate that led her back to the barn and wheeled her butt towards the center of the arena, looked through the open aisle, and whinnied in the direction of Fairbanks, then stomped impatiently. It was only after much prodding and encouragement on my part that Sally would deign to continue, but soon we came to by the gate. Even though I strongly encouraged her to keep moving, she'd repeat the behavior. This was no ordinary case of being barn sour. Something was going on with her. One of the keys to working with horses is to understand the motivation behind the behavior. Another was the idea that the horse was never wrong and the human partner just had to figure out why the horse was acting in a particular manner. Today, I was discouraged that I didn't have a clue. Maybe Agnes isn't all wrong when she says Sally is psychic, observed Darcy, just riding by at a posting trot. Just think, what if Agnes is right? As I looked at Darcy, I noted that her hands and lower leg position were as good as any I'd seen, and I reminded myself that soon we'd have to make some decisions regarding the show season for that pair. Well, I'm about ready to agree she is, I said. Sally certainly acts as if she knows something's going on over at Fairbanks, don't you? I added to the horse who had now turned her head around to observe me on her back, an exasperated expression on her face. I gave her a pat and dismounted, knowing we wouldn't get anything good done that day. Another good trait of a trainer is knowing when to quit. I brushed Sally down and tucked her away in her stall, but instead of checking her surroundings once and dozing off as she usually did, Sally put her nose to the ground and began pawing. And rather than pawing with one hoof, as she did when Deputy Giles was here, she used both hooves, like Hank would do if he was burying a bone. Then she stopped, looked at me, and began digging again. Lucky for me, there were durable rubber floor mats in the stalls. What is she doing? I have no idea. I've never seen a horse do that before. Darcy said, I'm telling you, she's giving you a message. What? That she doesn't like the way shavings are spread in her stall? Sally raised her head after another bout of digging and stared at me. Darcy offered to run upstairs and asked John to keep an eye on Sally, just in case she was beginning to colic. I debated asking John myself, but decided there are no olive branches handy. After another few minutes of puzzling over Sally's strange behavior, I headed for the house, and once inside, all the worries and problems of the world once again descended upon my shoulders. Some bit of information I had picked up during the day didn't fit. Something was not quite right, but I didn't know what. The next morning, I had a blistering headache, but I also had part of an answer.